there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Joe Sears.
And here we are, cramped up back in the studio, not getting to hang out poolside at the resort.
Well, some fat guy came by the pool and said it's Christmas in July.
Yeah, so that means it's our podcast's third birthday or whatever.
Pretty
cool. Coming up here soon. So I guess we gotta do a Christmas horror movie.
Guess we could stop the party for a week.
Yeah, you know, so we flew back. Boy, are my arms tired.
Some of us took the bus, Jay, because we can't afford multiple plane tickets.
And then, had to get ready for P2. But don't worry, we'll be back poolside next week.
Thank God.
But in the meantime, Jeff, let's talk about a very 2000s movie.
The most 2000s movie.
As I was thinking about it, especially like the gore effects, I'm like, I mean, the gore effects looked good. Like, the gore looked pretty good in this movie. It was very 2000s.
Yes, there's a reason for that, too.
Let's talk about P2. Let's Deck the Halls. Released November 9th, 2007. Right on a good date. Good solid date.
Pretty close, yeah.
Maybe a couple weeks later, yeah, maybe have it around like Thanksgiving, yeah. But
I like to see him around Thanksgiving, but I can't be mad. It's after Halloween.
Yeah. Once again, better than Terrifier 3 coming out in October when it's a Christmas movie. So,
I mean, I get it. They wanted to make more money. You make more money with horror and Halloween.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it would have been cool if they had dropped it at Christmas time.
Yeah. But written and directed by Frank Calhoun, who did the 2012 remake of Maniac with Elijah Wood.
Indeed.
One of Jeff's favorite guys. Yeah, and the 2023 movie Night of the Hunted, which I've been meaning to watch for a while. Do you know about Night of the Hunted?
I do not.
I would say it's kind of a little bit of this, but also a little bit of the movie Phone Booth.
Oh, okay.
A girl like and her husband, fiance, something, pull up to a gas station. And someone on like a billboard that kind of like overlooks it across the interstate has a high powered sniper rifle.
Ooh.
And starts like picking off people one by one.
Interesting.
I saw the trailers. I'm like, this looks awesome. I've heard it kind of takes maybe a weird turn at the end, which is why I haven't watched it yet. But like, I thought it looked really kind of cool. We've got writers Alexandre Aja and Gregory Levasseur, who did High Tension. Probably their most famous movie.
Well, and the 2006 The Hills Have Eyes, which I'm guessing is where the gore inspiration came from.
I'd say those two. But High Tension, French New Extremity Movement.
Boo.
And this kind of made me, this reminded, well, Jeff, you can't boo French horror movies. It's a French horror movie is one of your favorite horror movies.
Happy birthday, Christmas.
Happy birthday, Christmas. Well, people who don't know will know someday. Or go listen to our episode of Totally Rad Christmas. But I think you can kind of see the new extremity, like the high tensionness of this movie.
Yeah, no, you could definitely tell similarities.
Wes Bentley, plays Thomas, less said about him, the better, I guess.
Yeah.
Not Wes Bentley, about Thomas.
Yeah.
Rachel Nichols is Angela, and we will see her again in the 2016 remake of Inside. Speaking of French and New Extremity, the original Inside is a French New Extremity movie.
Ah, okay. A quick note on Wes Bentley. In an interview I saw with him a couple of years ago, he said that the reason that his performance was so good in this movie is because he was actually dealing with a horrible drug addiction at this time.
I was going to bring that up later on, yeah.
So, I mean, that makes sense.
That's the thing. A lot of people made fun of his performance, and I'm like, he seems like a crazy person.
Yes, no.
And like, I don't, like, I could get laughing, like, mm-hmm. at his performance, but not thinking his performance is funny, more just thinking it's like wild.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there are things to make fun of in this movie, but I wouldn't say his performance is one of them.
Exactly. Grace Lynn Kung is Woman in Elevator. and is Claire in The Cult of Chucky, which is a decent Chucky movie. Not my favorite, but certainly not. Honestly, it might be my least favorite. Which still isn't bad. Every Chucky movie is pretty good.
Much like every Leprechaun.
More on that this upcoming St. Patrick's Day. Bathsheba Garnett is homeless woman. I assume the one who yells, "Help! He's killing me! Help!" Yes,
which I found very funny.
And she also plays the titular Vavitch in The Vavitch.
Oh God, not The Vavitch.
That's the only reason I wanted to bring that up.
We don't have to speak ye olde English, do we, Jay?
Oh, I'm so excited for Werewolf. We've gotten some more information about that today.
Ooh.
Philip Williams plays cop number one, but he, more importantly, he plays Crutch in Jason X Evil Gets an Upgrade.
Awesome.
Tagline, a new level of fear. Yeah, that's all right.
Forgot Rachel Nichols, Jay.
Oh, did I not bring up Rachel Nichols? She's our star. She plays Angela. I talked about Inside. I did mention Inside, the movie she's in, which is also, she is in another French New Extremity movie, a remake of a French New Extremity movie.
She did most of her own stunts, too.
Oh, impressive. I did not see that. Budget, $3.5 million. Box office, $7.7 million. By the logic that you spend your budget on promotion, this movie made $700,000. Yes.
I was going to say, this seems like probably a break-even movie.
Which, probably did.
Not the worst thing in the world, but not what you want.
Where to watch currently, Pluto, Plex,
Fandango.
I did it on Prime, where it's free. I think you have to be signed up for Prime, but you can watch it for free on Prime. Yes,
I watched it on Fandango with ads. And did you know that How to Train Your Dragon is now out, Jay?
I did not, but... but yeah. Is there... do we have some connect... Our kid in Black Phone, he's How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, he's How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah, he's the main character.
God, I'm like my fucking dad. I don't know, what's his name, like Burp?
Yeah, Hiccup.
Hiccup, there you go. Yeah. I'm close. Yeah. I've never seen these movies.
He's How to Train Your Dragon.
It's like my dad, when he'd be like, my dad tried to meet me halfway. He'd be like, "Look at me, son. I'm a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles."
"Look at me, son. I'm Star Wars."
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Star Wars. Personal experience. I remember this coming out in theaters. I did not go see it in theater. I would have been in college in 2007. So probably would have been tough for me to, as a poor college kid, to go see this in theaters. Mm-hmm. I did see it eventually, and I've watched it. I've watched it a handful of times. This was probably my fourth or fifth rewatch of this movie.
Oh, okay.
How about you, Jeff?
I almost bought it once at Half Price Books, but I ended up putting it back for something else.
Oh, that's fair.
But I liked the cover of the DVD. It grabbed my attention.
Anything else to add?
It was shot entirely at night in a real parking garage in Canada. Boo, Canada.
What, like 2 months of... Because it was a real parking garage, like it was 2 months of principal photography.
Everybody involved in it said it was like brutal because it was cold, because they filmed in the winter. It was cold and damp, and obviously there's no climate control in a parking garage.
And then you're having to base, that's the thing. It's a real functioning parking garage. So every night at the end, like probably for about 2 hours, you cut off at the end to pack everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to get there 2 hours early to start putting everything out. So like you add 4 hours to either end of filming, that gives you even fewer hours to work with.
They use real ice, and it was really freezing. And Rachel Nichols mentioned in an interview that it was the coldest she's ever felt was doing the elevator stunt with the water.
I could imagine.
And walking down the street at the end, but we'll get to that. Also, almost all the stunts were done practically, including the car crash and the dog attack.
Okay.
Both real. Hopefully not stabbing the dog in the head.
Yeah. For people with dog issues, the dog does die in this movie. Just FYI.
I would say they used, in the movie, the only thing that CGI'd about the dog attack is they turned it into a Rottweiler. In real life, it was a German Shepherd.
Okay. All right. Well, you ready to do our synopsis?
Indeed.
We get Eartha Kitt's Santa Baby playing. Doot, doot, doot.
God,
doot, doot. Do-doot, do-doot, do-doot.
It's a great opening.
As we get shots of, we get our opening credits over shots of a parking garage. It slowly starts to zoom in on the back of a BMW. And then we see, like, the lock get busted out and a woman shoots up out of the trunk and, like, screams, title card, P2. Although we will see the letter, we will see P2 multiple times over the course of the movie, just to remind you that it's P2. Well,
they also almost called it level P2, and then they decided to just make it P2.
Man, that would have been a worse movie. Yeah. That would have been a much worse title. P2 is actually a pretty solid title.
Yeah.
Also, did you know that one time, Pierce hooked up with Eartha Kitt in an airplane bathroom?
I've heard that,
yeah. For the community heads out there. Angela is on the phone looking out her upper floor office window at New York City. Her friend Jody stops in to wish her a Merry Christmas, and then she continues working into the night. Turns out it's Christmas Eve.
You better get home. Your parents will be worried about you. This woman looks 40.
Jim swings by Angela's office and apologizes for something he did at the Christmas party.
Oh, gee, I wonder what that could be.
She then calls her sister Lorraine, and they talk about their Christmas plans and that she's excited to be there. Jeff, one of these days, are you going to apologize for the embarrassing thing you did at the Horror for the Holidays Christmas party?
No, until someone presents me with a cardboard box containing proof.
Well, I've got this cardboard box with a secret string in it.
I'm never going to pull that.
Okay. I'm glad we were on the same wavelength for that. Time passes, and we see Angela finishing her work in the now empty office with just like a bit of Christmas decorations around. Mm-hmm. She runs into Carl, the security guard, who mentions the building will be closed for the next 3 days. That's important.
A little bit.
Yeah. Although a review I read online, which we will get to for Close for Christmas, somebody complained about that line.
Yeah.
Angela then splits up from Carl after they go downstairs in the elevator and hits the button for P2.
Said the thing.
They did the thing. She gets to her car, but it won't start. She gets like armfuls of presents and like all of her belongings that she needs for her family.
Now,
so she can go hail a cab.
Do you think her car really wouldn't start, or do you think he sabotaged
it? I think it was sabotaged.
Because I see a lot of debate about that in some of the reviews.
Now, that in my memory, there was a moment where he admits to maybe having done something or something happening. And I was kind of disappointed that I was like, oh, I must have misremembered that, because I remembered her car not starting.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember why. But like in my head forever, it's always been, oh, he messed with it.
I was kind of wondering at the beginning, but then when he reveals all of the surveillance or whatever, I was like, he must have done it.
The door to the elevator is locked, so she has to go to the parking attendant / parking security guard, because apparently they hire out different security for the parking than they do for the building.
That was a weird point with this movie that kind of stuck with me. I was like, usually the building security is all the same company.
But I guess, yeah, I know it is weird, but like, I guess I've had weird things where like the secure, like I, to do something with parking has been different than doing something with the building I'm in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, it is strange. And so we are introduced to Thomas, who offers to charge her battery for. He's constantly like, oh, it's probably the battery. You probably just left your headlights on. It gets dark down here. And she's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, eh, it's probably the battery. You should go check it out.
First sign you know something is wrong with him is he totally talks past everything she says and just doing his own thing.
He takes her to the after the battery doesn't work.
Crazy.
He takes her to the elevator and mentions she could join him for dinner. And then when she's weirded out by it, he goes, oh, just kidding. And they part ways. Angela goes back up to the main floor, but Carl is missing. She calls a cab, calls her sister, lets her know what's going on, and then waits. And we see, and then the camera slowly pans out and turns to black and white, and we see that she's being watched through a security camera. That's the thing, too. If the security guard for the parking garage is a different guy than the security guard for the main floor, the guy for the parking garage shouldn't have camera access to the rest of the building.
And my thing was, there's no badge protection on these doors, so you should be able to get out. You just wouldn't be able to get back in.
No, I thought that was so strange.
Also very weird.
And she only tries one set of doors. There are multiple doors she could have tried.
Well, my biggest thing was, okay, so at this point, Charlie goes missing. It's like these guys have to check in every so often when you're the only guy there or whatever.
So then someone would have come looking for him or something, like,
after
because
he didn't check in.
Eventually the cab arrives, but Angela can't get to it through the front doors. Like I said, she only tries one set. There's multiple doors she could have tried. She goes back down to the parking garage and asks Thomas for help. But the cab leaves and she tries to call, but she can't get a cell signal. And then all the lights start to shut off. So she uses her cell phone for light and as kind of looking around in the dark. And it's one of those old flip phones. So she doesn't have the handy flashlight that we have nowadays on our phones. These newfangled kids with their flashlights on their phones. Back in my day, you had a flip phone and you could only illuminate about one square foot. Yeah. I was going to say 1 square foot in front of you. She trips, and like, drops all of her stuff. And as she's kind of picking herself up and dusting herself off, grabs her phone. And then we see Thomas illuminated behind her in the light.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he chloroforms her.
Oh, man. At least he didn't use the forget me stick.
She wakes up briefly when we see Thomas dressed as Santa, and then she passes out again. She had a Santa suit because her dad was going to dress as Santa for her niece and nephew.
Oh, he also says a very creepy line at that point where he's like, "Have you been a good girl?"
Yeah. She wakes up wearing different clothes with her makeup done and her hair down, and her leg is chained to a table. Thomas acts like everything is normal as he prepares dinner while she is rightfully freaking out and asking what is going on. He then talks about himself, asks about her hometown, which we learn is Reedfield, and he asks about her hobbies, talks about how he likes reading and stuff, and almost like they're on a date.
Yeah. And then he's like, "Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me."
I would imagine if they had gotten.
you kind of get that when they see the footage later, but
she then says her boyfriend is going to get worried and show up and come looking for her, and Thomas's demeanor changes at that moment. He starts asking her a bunch of questions.
He plays 20 questions because he knows she's lying.
Yep. And catches her in a lie and basically lets on that he knows way more about her than she's aware of. He's been paying attention to her for a while.
And he's also like, what was it? What kind of car does he have? I don't know. A Toyota. Toyota fast car.
I thought that was a great line.
I was like, okay.
Thomas lists her whole family by name and then makes her call them and come up with an excuse for why she isn't there. And the whole time she is on the phone, he has his hands wrapped around her neck.
See, and at this point, even if he had his hands wrapped around my neck, I'd be like, "A crazy pervert's holding me hostage."
Yep.
Or stab, you know, you women have an uncanny ability, Jay, that men don't possess. Pretend like you're going to have sex with him, and instead of stabbing him in the shoulder with the fork, stab him in the groin with the fork, and then he'll bleed to death.
I mean, we saw that in Sinners, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, she should have, if she had just seen a movie that came out
yes,
17 years later, she would have understood how to get out of this situation. Should have
done a Sinners.
God, these more people need to do a Sinners.
They really do.
Thomas then give, oh, nope, that's later.
More directors also need to do a Sinners. Right. At this point, Thomas does his incredible rant, Jay.
Yeah, he does multiple incredible rants, but he gives Angela a VHS tape for Christmas. He like gives her a present, and he's like, "Aren't you going to unwrap it?" And eventually she does, and it's a blank VHS tape. And then he puts it in the VCR, and it is footage of Jim trying to force himself onto her at the office Christmas party. Hmm. Once again, why does he have access to this footage?
Well, and it's like, I understand he's insane, but literally all he does is try to kiss her, and then she pushes him away. That's all that happens in the elevator. He's like, "Oh, you done fucked up now, buddy."
Thomas then says, "Want to go for a stroll?" And undoes the chain around her leg, and Angela stabs him with a fork and tries to escape. But Rocky, the dog, like kind of freaks her out, and she gets tackled by Thomas and gets handcuffed this time instead of leg cuffed. And then Thomas goes, "I need to show you something."
That's it. We're changing cuffs.
They get in his car and Angela says, "I thought you said we were going for a drive. Why are we going down, Tom?" Which I just thought was such a well-delivered line. Yeah. And then his headlights illuminate Jim tied to like a rolly chair with tape like around his feet and hands and mouth.
"Where are we going, Jay? What do you think about that, Jay? Please don't do this, Jay."
Yeah. She does the thing where she tries to like identify with the kidnapper by constantly like referring to him by name.
Tom.
Which then he freaks out about.
"I've read the psychological books."
Thomas wants her to beat him with a mag light, And she kind of doesn't want to, basically is, what he did wasn't that bad. Like, you need to let him go. This is kidnapping, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then she finally agrees to do it. And Thomas goes, no, you're a good person. Yeah. And then he steps out.
No, it's literally like he has like a moment of realization where he's like, no, wait a minute. I'm the piece of shit who needs to beat this guy.
Thomas gets out, taunts Jim for a bit. And is about to hit him, but Angela begs him to stop. And then Thomas just starts wailing on him and says, way to ruin Christmas, asshole. Thomas gets back in the car and starts to leave, but is confused why Angela is defending Jim. Do you like being touched? Did you fuck him to get a promotion? Thomas then says, you're right. We shouldn't leave him here. And he puts the car in gear and starts to drive forward, pushing the wheelie chair along with him. Yeah. And then he pushes him up against a wall and then basically drives backwards and forwards, crashing into him, crushing him in between the wall and his car. And I like the whole time that this scene is going on, there's Jingle Bells playing. I thought that was a nice little...
Absolutely brutal.
Yep. You see like his guts spilling out. You see fucking blood everywhere. It looks great.
The only thing that would have been better is if blue Christmas.
Angela, still handcuffed, is able to escape. As Thomas is busy like driving forward and backward. And on the security camera, we see Thomas not really bothered by her escaping and instead starts cleaning up Jim's body.
Well, I mean, cause where is she going
to
go?
No, exactly. She makes her way to Thomas's office and avoids Rocky, by climbing on top of a desk and grabs her phone and his key cards. Angela is able to get a signal on her phone. If she sticks it out through the garage and dials 911, but then she drops the phone and then she's trying to get it and rips her fingernail out, which is, like I said, very, very 2000s horror movie. You can watch a fingernail get ripped out. Oof. Her call goes through and she hopes someone on the other end can hear her, but we're unclear if they do or not. Angela is able to make it to the elevator using the key cards. But when she gets inside the elevator without the access key, she can't get up to the main floor of the building, which once again, if the parking garage and the elevators are run by different security companies, why does that guy have access to the main level?
Yes. Or if they're the same security company, that makes even less sense.
You're right.
How this is happening. But, you also forgot about the crazy old homeless lady.
Oh, yeah. As she's screaming for help, she's like, help. Yeah. help me. He's trying to kill me. And then the crazy homeless lady's like, help, help. He's trying to kill me.
Like mockingly. I thought it was hilarious.
It's very funny. So she can't go up to the lobby to escape from Thomas. So she has to go down. And then she stops the elevator in between like floors 2 and 3. And, she kind of thinks she's safe. And she presses the security call button to try to get help. Mm-hmm. And who should answer but Thomas doing an offensive Indian accent.
Which I knew it was him immediately, but that was also funny. But no, what I thought of in the elevator was, okay, most elevators have a button you can push to sound a fire alarm. I'm like, maybe she should have pushed that.
Right. Again, no, that's what I would. Jeff, do you want a story about a young me?
Okay.
I was probably like 3, maybe 4.
So back in the 60s.
My parents, we were staying at a hotel, and I got out of I was in the elevator, and I pressed the red button that caused the elevator to stop and the fire alarm to go off.
Oh, boy. Classic.
Yep.
That has Jay Loxton energy.
Yep. Angela huddles in the corner of the elevator, and then we hear Thomas opening the doors above her, and we see him lower a fire hose onto the roof of the elevator, and then he turns it on and starts flooding the elevator. The roof collapses, and Carl's body falls in.
I'm like, well, now at least we know this must be a ThyssenKrupp elevator, Jay, because an Otis would never be able to withstand that water pressure.
Angela reactivates the elevator, and the water, her and Carl's dead body all rush out.
It's a good scene. I like it.
Thomas then plays Elvis singing Blue Christmas through the PA speaker system.
Blue Christmas.
And watches Angela on the cameras. Angela realizes, like, I think this is like her first kind of realization of the cameras, goes and grabs the fire axe from the fire thing that was that was used to flood the thing, and proceeds to start breaking cameras.
And this was a question I asked. Why aren't the police paying more attention? Because they should have. They drove past a broken camera, several of them, because he has to flip between feeds to keep track of the police car later. How do they not notice those things broken?
Right. She gets to Thomas's office, and he's not in there. But there is a video playing of him like changing her clothes, doing her makeup, and like caressing her body.
Oh God, your skin is so soft.
He does say shit like that. And then she smashes the TV with the axe. She sees the police arrive on camera and tries to get them to help, only to run directly into Thomas, who tases her and knocks her out.
Twice, too, to make sure she's really down.
And then I saw an IMDb goof that's like, being tased doesn't knock you out. But I guess like that coupled with stress and blah, blah, blah would. And it's like, if you understand why it would, then you understand this isn't a goof.
She also took a lot more of the taser charge than you normally would because she was soaking wet.
I just thought it was such a fun, like, and then I think it was like improperly regarded as goof, which
it both is improper for that reason and because she was soaked to the bone literally with hose water.
Thomas cleans up real fast as he is covered in blood and then lets the cops in. As they drive, we see Angela trapped in the trunk of her BMW, the beginning of the movie.
And see, this is why I wonder why the cops didn't notice the broken cameras, because they're suspicious of him. They don't believe him or whatever when he says there's nothing going on. They're like, yeah, well, we're going to check it out anyway.
Well, I think the first time, too, I thought, like, I was really hoping we would either get one of the cops coming back, like, I don't trust that guy. Mm-hmm. Or something, and then maybe one of them gets axed or whatever. And like, I was kind of disappointed. Like, no, there's no real being like, no, I don't. Like, we should double back. I don't trust what was going on there.
It's like the real New York cop, Jay. He doesn't really seem to care, but his partner is suspicious the entire time. He even mean mugs our main villain here at the end before they leave.
But we get Santa Baby once again playing over the PA system, and we, as the police car, but also Angela's car is being watched through the security cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's trying to make sure she doesn't get out. And I'm assuming he started playing the music in case they might hear her.
I think that was the idea.
Yeah.
We see Angela bursting out through the trunk, just like the beginning of the movie, and she tries to run to the cops for help. But she is too late. They are just like the door is closing and they are just leaving.
And that's another thing. It's like they just pulled out. Their windows are down and sound carries in a parking garage. It's like they didn't hear her yell, please stop. Wait, no.
Yeah. Thomas has already let them out. And he's standing there with Rocky, and Rocky's barking and pulling at the leash.
Also,
and he lets him go.
Inaccuracy, Jay. Cops didn't shoot the dog. They definitely would have shot that dog.
She uses the tire iron to bust out a window as she's being a window of a car as she's being chased, and then Rocky jumps in after her. And after fighting for a brief moment, she stabs him in the head with the tire iron.
Oof! I was like, God, you couldn't have just beat him with it a little bit.
We learn that these are rental cars. As she walks up to like Big Apple rental or something like that. And she gets into the rental car office and calls 911, but all the lines are busy.
Oh, no.
She breaks out a bunch of car keys trying to find, I think, you know, to have one that she can drive away. As Thomas is kind of making his way around the rental car agency, and he finds Rocky's body in the back of the car, which causes him to freak out even more. And then while this is going on and Angela is also trying to call the cops, she also finds like a nail file and is trying to pick the lock to her handcuffs. Thomas goes inside but can't find Angela. And we get a scene where, you know, the classic scene where she's hiding and you think, oh, he's going to find her. Yep. And then he opens the door and she's not there. And then she's behind him.
Classic.
Classic horror movie scene. Sprays him in the eyes with some kind of like cleaning solution.
Yeah. And see, this is that moment would have been when a normal movie ends, but this one, it's going to continue.
She then puts the tire iron in the door, which kind of locks him in there. And so she has time to find the car with the pair of keys she stole. And we get a scene where Thomas is throwing chairs at a window, but every scene, the chairs are set up differently because there was no continuity person on staff to point this out.
Only real sickos like us, you would even notice that, Jay. So
there's so many just like small continuity things, and it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, no, you're absolutely right, but I am that kind of sicko.
I'm coining the term spirit Halloween sicko for what Jay Loxton.
Angela's able to get into a car, drives away. While she is poorly drives away.
I was going
to
say, drives away, woman drivers, am I right?
I was actually thinking about making that same joke. No, she keeps like crashing into one. Yes. Her hands are handcuffed.
I understand. It's probably because of everything that's happened to her, but yes, it was a ridiculously bad escape attempt by car.
She almost gets to the garage. I think she plans on ramming it.
Yeah.
Only to get T-boned by Thomas.
And a nasty T-bone, too. Yep. She flips her car.
I think she also, she makes sure to put her seatbelt on at one point, like just to make sure.
Very 2000s.
But yeah, her car gets flipped and the horn starts blaring.
Yes.
So Thomas gets out and he's like, oh, are you hurt? Like, let me help you. Like, and he pulls her head back off the blaring car horn. And her eyes open up and she stabs him in the eye with the nail file.
And I was like, should have went for the neck.
But also very 2000s horror movie. Yes. She then gets out and starts strangling him with the handcuffs that she's still in. Mm-hmm. And when he passes out, she undoes her handcuffs and then handcuffs him to the car and she starts to walk away. We also see the car is spilling gasoline out.
Yep.
At this point, I think she's planning on just leaving, calling the cops, and having him get arrested, and he decides to start taunting her.
Yep. I get that he's crazy, but you would think that little bit of self-preservation instinct he clearly still has would have kicked in and made him shut up in this moment.
But he's like, why can't we spend Christmas together? And then as she keeps walking away, he screams, can't you hear me, you stupid fucking cunt? And Angela, hearing that, turns around. And earlier on, she had picked up the taser, and she looks at the gasoline on the ground and uses the taser to spark the gasoline.
Merry fucking Christmas, Thomas.
Yeah. And then as Thomas gets burned alive, Angela then uses the keys to escape the garage and limps out onto the street as snow falls on Christmas morning. And we see emergency vehicles heading towards her as we fade to black. Blue Christmas then plays over the credits, and we get random snapshots of like Thomas goofing around.
Merry 2000s.
End of movie.
And yes, and this was when I immediately knew that it was not shot in New York City because the street was empty.
Yep. All right, Jeff, anything else you want to bring up before we dive on into our categories?
Just that Thomas's unhinged performance was definitely the highlight of this movie.
No, I agree. Like, it's, you know, Black Phone, we were kind of talking about like the different personalities. He wildly vacillates between like kind of calm good guy in quotes and then switches to like just the most insane like
Well, it's a realistic to me crazy person.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't act crazy all the time.
No, exactly. But you know, I agree. I think it's an excellent performance.
Did you know, Jay, that crazy people don't actually act like the Joker all the time?
I find that hard to believe. Everything, all media I've consumed is the Joker.
Why so serious?
It's me, Clancy Brown. Oh, no, that's Superman. Never mind. Great Lex Luthor. Greatest Lex Luthor.
I mean, yes. Definitely the highlight of my childhood.
All right, anyway. What category do you want to do?
You know what? Let's talk about how Christmassy this is.
All right, Christmas spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills?
Well, it's pretty Christmassy overall because the only reason he's able to get away with it is because it is Christmas.
Yep, gonna be shut for 3 days. Yeah. No one's gonna be at the office.
Because otherwise something like this would never work.
Also, I love, it felt very realistic. It felt very like working in an office where like there's some Christmas decorations like on a cubicle. Maybe there's some Christmas cookies like left over on a tray. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she goes down. You know, you don't really see Christmas stuff. She gets out to the lobby. There's like a big Christmas tree in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And then when she goes down into the parking garage, you know, it's not Christmas lights everywhere, but Thomas decorated his office with Christmas lights. There's Christmas. There's a Christmas tree in the rental stop. And then whoever mans the parking booth on a normal day, there's Christmas lights kind of around there.
No, originally I was going to be like, it's not that Christmassy, but I'm like, no, it's pretty much what the level of Christmas you would expect from like a corporate Christmas.
Like, yeah, it just, it feels, even if it's not the most Christmassy, it feels very real life.
Yes, it definitely reminds me of our old job we used to work together, how they would decorate for Christmas.
Yes, absolutely. The kills, I mean, we only get, what, 4 kills to speak of? And yeah. And one of them happens off screen?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say the kills are super Christmassy, but I mean, we do get her wielding an axe, so I mean, that's kind of Christmassy. Yep.
Although, man, I was hoping someone would get hit with that axe.
I was, too. I was really hoping either she would hit him with it, or he would take it away from her and, like, chop her leg off or something like that.
Oh, I said to my wife, I was like, if they had made a new like, a French version of this, if this had gotten the inside treatment, or the like, Ills versus Strangers treatment, where it was, you know, mm-hmm. where it was a French new extremity horror movie, then got it kind of an American remake. The French movie, like, we got some kind of goopy, gory effects, like a handful, but I'm like, she would have gotten, like, her fingers chopped off or something, or he would have, like, axed her in the leg. Like, it, we would have gotten, like, it would have been a lot more brutal than what we got. And I'm like, that's sad, because these guys are from that school, but then we don't get enough of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were definitely trying to tone it down for a more mainstream American audience.
Yep, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, well, Jay, only real sickos like us are interested in the French movies. So.
Right. Let's do, how about Christmas Carol's favorite quotes?
Okay.
I've only got 2.
I just wanted to be friends, Jay. I just wanted to be your friend. Come back here, listen to me, you stupid fucking cunt. Very crazy, man. I like it.
So when they're going down the elevator, they run into a couple that's leaving. So apparently these are both office buildings and maybe apartments. And this guy, Doug, goes, come on, your parents can't stand me. And his wife goes, you're wrong, Doug. They love you. And it just, just a great line. and then my other Thomas is, cheers. Okay. I'll make a toast. Here's to good friends and hometowns and Reedfield, wherever that is.
Yep. That's a good one.
Those are my 2.
Thomas, when he's dressing her for dinner and he starts grabbing her boobs and moving his hand around, he's like, oh, Angela,
your skin's so soft.
Look at you. You're beautiful. Should we do lipstick? I think we should. Just the creepiest shit. Yeah. Like, reminded me of the Buffalo Bill.
Yeah, thing. No, real Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Once again, should have gotten Ted Levine. I mean, Wes Bentley does a great job.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had gotten Ted Levine.
Oh, and then, of course, why'd you have to go and do that? He's just an animal. As if he didn't send his dog to rip her throat.
Right. No, again, I loved that line.
Again, very crazy man behavior.
I don't have any other quotes.
What was my last one? Oh, when her coworker's apologizing for hitting on her, he's like, I just want you to know that I'm really, really sorry. She's like, it's fine. Like, this happens to her all the time.
Right.
Which, I mean, her in that office, I can imagine it probably does happen to her.
Yeah. I, you and I don't know what it's like to be a woman in the business world, but off of what we hear, yes.
Let's be honest, Jay. We don't know what it's like to be attractive in the business world.
That's fair, too. All right, Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, etc. Things you want to shout out like that. Good gore effects, like I said, felt very, very 2000s.
Yeah,
like eye getting gouged out, and you see the eyeball getting ripped out, fingernail getting ripped out.
The car crash was cool. I like that. Set up well. Obviously, they must have done some kind of blocking to make sure the car didn't smash up the garage too much. I liked when... Not only does he dress up like Santa for that little moment where she's awake, but then he keeps the jacket on. But then when he realizes he still has it on, he like flips it off real quick. But I liked him in his security guard uniform with just the Santa jacket on.
I thought that was a good look.
Yeah, was Jay Logsdon coded for me.
And a very good Santa outfit.
Yes, I was going to mention that. It's like, he looks really good as Santa.
Like, we've had some real shitty killer Santas, and that is an excellent Santa outfit.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Even the beard was really well done.
Honestly, might be one of my favorites, which is nuts.
And yeah, I say crazy because it's only in the movie for like 5 seconds.
Yep.
But I guess that shows you the attention to detail they took.
And then, proceeded to miss multiple things when it came to continuity.
But they got the Santa suit right, Jay.
Speaking of continuity, broken bulb, brilliant bulb, one thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise. The thing I would fix, get somebody to point out all of these fucking continuity errors. It's okay if it's one, especially, like, I'm willing to forgive the blood, like, some the blood on her face moves around. Like,
yeah.
You know, the things like that. But, like, for her to be wearing shoes and then not wearing shoes and then wearing shoes again is kind of a weird choice, like a weird thing to miss. For the chairs, when he's throwing the chairs against the window, like for them to basically be put back in place every single time he's throwing the chairs at the window. I'm like, what is going on here?
I'm guessing maybe they had some problems with the window maybe breaking too soon or something like that. But that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, that was my big one. Like, I either get a better continuity person or get a continuity person.
I'm guessing it's probably get a continuity person. My biggest thing was we needed to add in some explanations to head off some of these questions, I think, about why is this... Explain the security situation a little bit, because it's really confusing as to what's going on. And... give like some kind of distraction or something so that the cops don't drive down there and go past like all the broken security cameras and like the flooded area. Cause he's like, oh yeah, there's a busted water main down there. But then they see it and they're suspicious, but they never actually go to check it out. And I was wondering, it's like, did he have time to get rid of Charlie's body? Because I don't think they ever showed him getting rid of it.
He goes up and talks to it, but then doesn't do anything with it afterwards.
Was he still laying there on the floor by that waterlogged elevator?
Which then they just don't even go and look at.
And it's like, it was kind of weird, but something to explain that away, like maybe have the cops not get down there and explain the security guard situation and why no one came to check in on Charlie after he was radio silent for hours.
I would have had some line when she's in the elevator and like, you know, and she says something like, you know, are the parking garages still open this late or something? And it's like, well, you know, we're not the same company or something like that. But I heard they're working, or even like some line where he's like, yeah, but you know, man, that guy, Tom, he gives me the creeps or something. Just some line.
Or like an easy way to explain it would be have Charlie be like, oh man, you know, Christmas Eve and all, we're short staffed, so it's just me tonight. Or something like that, because it's like, it doesn't make sense that he's the only guard for a building that big.
No, it's
or why no one checked on him.
That's the thing. I think like normally, like, yeah, the building we looked at, we worked in, I think there were always two people.
Well, that's how security companies generally operate, is there's always at least two people.
Because we worked overnights.
Especially if you're going to be in an office building overnight, there's always security, and usually they're in pairs because you don't want something to happen to one guy and have nobody else there to help him.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and that would have prevented this problem, possibly.
Well, brilliant bulb, Jeff, the thing you want to praise?
Angela's soft skin.
Oh, it's so soft.
Oh, God. Let me get a squeeze. Honk, honk.
Awooga.
I wanted to praise... Tom's performance. I thought it really carried the movie. At points where I thought the movie was getting boring, he would then bust into some kind of crazy rant or fly off the handle about something out of nowhere and kind of pick the momentum back up, because there were some moments where I thought it was kind of starting to drag, but then he would do something else crazy. Like, I thought it was kind of dragging when they were doing the let's go for a walk thing, let's go for a stroll. But then when he gets down there and you see that he's already got that guy wrapped up and ready to torture him, it's like, okay, now good, it's picking back up. Or like when she starts running away and then he can't find her for a little bit, I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of getting boring. And then he throws the fire hose in the elevator.
There's like, it's not 20 minutes together, but I would say on a whole, there's about 20 minutes of this movie where you're kind of like, oh, we're slowing down here a little bit. Like, can we pick up the pace?
I think if they had a weaker actor in the villain role, I don't think it would have been as good of a movie. But he's able to carry it, and as we found out earlier, maybe not entirely on acting ability. Could have been some legitimate problems.
Right.
But, I mean, it makes him seem more unhinged, so, I mean, it helped the movie.
My brilliant bulb is the idea is the trapped in a parking garage at Christmas time. You get... As you and I always say, and I know this is a little more of a thriller than it is a slasher, but you know, the thing you and I always talk about is like, put your slasher villain someplace different.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we basically seen this plot, but in a cabin?
Yep.
Or like in a hotel, maybe. And it's like, or, you know, like I'm thinking like the Bates Motel or Vacancy, or like
just in a house.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like how many times have we seen that versus, oh, they're in a parking garage. Like it's something new. It's something different. Even if it's kind of by the books, I admire them actually like do, you know, not, yes, not putting this in a cabin, not, you know, not doing a Lake Alice, like instead doing something much more, a more interesting place, a different place to set one of these movies at.
Oh, I agree.
And I've seen people kind of lampoon the idea, like, oh, trying to make parking garages scary, like Jaws made, you know, going in the water scary. And it's like, but then those same people will be like, there's no new ideas in Hollywood. Well, you just made fun of a new idea. Like,
well, and I mean, let's be honest here. Parking garages aren't scary for most people. I would say most people who are men aren't really scared of parking garages. But I've heard from many women that parking garages are creepy. Because you're isolated,
yep,
and you're in the dark by yourself, and usually there's men walking around.
I was up in Minneapolis. There's like a large parking garage that's kind of connected to the Skywalk and connected to like I think like where the Minnesota Timberwolves play, the Target Center, and I think maybe connected to the baseball field and stuff like that. And it's all kind of this one like long stretch. And I had left something in the car, like, after, you know, it was late at night, and I, like, we were getting done for the night, and I was like, oh, shit, like, I left that in the car, and I went to go, creepy, like,
oh, yeah,
creepy fucking parking garage. No, like,
I mean, after hours, I mean, it's definitely creepy in there, but it's like, I get, because, like, even my wife has told me before, she's like, I don't feel safe in parking garages at night, especially if I'm by myself. And it's like, no, I could totally get that. Because, yep. I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, if you watch any kind of true crime or listen to true crime podcasts or anything like that, one of the top three locations people get grabbed is in parking garages.
Yep, exactly. You got cars, that are large vans that, you know, you just walk by. Or,
And no one thinks it's out of the ordinary for a car to be parked in a parking garage.
Yep. But yeah, no, I like it. Just it blows my mind. Like I said, the people who say there's no new ideas in Hollywood, but here was a new idea, and they were like, trying to make parking garages scary. Like, shut the fuck up.
Well, timely reference, Jay. It's almost like if you try to take a character in a new direction in a movie that's opposite to the direction he was going in, and you have a bunch of people cry about it.
A bunch of Snyder Bros cry about it.
Yeah, yeah, you guessed the one.
All right, well, let's move on to our final ratings. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, when it's a Christmas horror movie, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-ho-larious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff?
I ultimately settled on ho-ho-ho-larious. It's got a lot of funny moments in it, especially, like I said, two of the highlights are Tom, when he's saying, oh, how could you have done that? He was just an animal. After he sicked the dog and tried to kill her. And the old homeless lady mocking her about being killed. And it's just, it's an overall fun time. You're going to have fun with the crazy dynamic. You're going to have fun with the hide and seek aspect. I mean, like we said, good performance from the lead, good performance from the villain. The effects are good, and you're going to have fun with the gore. Like, and it's like Jay said, it's something you haven't seen a million times before, and it's interesting. Even if you don't think it's like the best movie ever, I certainly wouldn't say it's bad. I would at least watch it once and see what you think.
I did seasonally scary. While not perfect, I do love this movie. I love the feel of it. I love the setting. You know, like I said, I think it's such a fun, unique idea. It's something different. Like, you know, once again, how many times have we seen slasher, home invasion, kidnapping in a house?
Only 1 million.
I think it's just so different. And as I always, I want, you know, put Jason in a mall at Christmas time, or the strangers in a mall at Christmas. Let me see this. This is what I want.
Put Jason and a predator in the mall.
Do that too. If Predator Company, I don't know, Hulu.
Yeah,
Jason,
something.
whoever owns Jason now, get on this.
New Line Cinema, maybe, I don't know.
But the Christmas, when you see, like, the world kind of feels lived in a weird way. Yes. Like it, you know, people who understand that when it's Christmas at an office complex, like, no, there's not going to be Christmas lights everywhere. You're going to get the one crazy person who's going to like decorate their cubicle for Christmas. And then most of the other people, you know, oh, they might put some garland up or they might like hang like a little like wreath, but like, you know, you're going to get the one guy who, you know, has all the windows of his office covered in Christmas lights and is playing Christmas music over the PA system.
Corporate's going to put out a few things, you know, tree in the lobby, that kind of thing.
Yep. But you know, there were issues with the movie, both, I think, you know, like I said, continuity, obviously, you know, the 2 months, that it took to film the movie probably didn't help, Wes Bentley's substance abuse might not have helped a ton with some of the other things going on. But you know, I love that it was actually filmed in a parking garage and I just, like I said, I think it's such a cool, unique idea. And I honestly, this is one of my favorites. Not, I wouldn't say like top 10, but top 15, top 20, probably.
Not only filmed in a parking garage, but a Christmas movie actually filmed in the winter.
Yep. Which, so many of them we watch were like, Halloween was filmed in the summer.
It's clearly summer.
In California. Yes.
There's no leaves.
There's no leaves on the ground. Or Jack Frost, where it's Christmassy on the ground, but all the trees are free of snow.
I know. That always gets me.
Well, Jeff, did you stop to think, we don't know what we're talking about. I guess we're getting clothes for Christmas.
No, Jay, I never think that because I'm a real movie critic, remember?
Oh, yes.
The lion does not concern itself with the opinions of the sheep.
A self-professed cinema expert.
Yes, I am.
1 out of 10 stars. Awful. Bad acting. Actually, it was overacted. The movie was so bad that it was funny. But even that became tedious after a while. It's really not worth the watch.
Really?
out of all the movies out there, to give this a 1 out of 10. Like,
0 stars. Die Hard in a parking garage with a head injury.
Not at all. This is remotely close to Die Hard.
Imagine Die Hard, but John McClane is a barefoot investment analyst with no survival skills, and Hans Gruber is a gaslighting pervert in a rent-a-cop uniform who reads treatises on philosophy to his hostages. That's P2. The movie commits the cardinal sin of horror. It's boring. Yeah, we're stuck in a parking garage for 90 minutes, fluorescent lighting, soggy concrete, and a villain whose evil plan is have dinner with a woman who's never smiled at him once. Wes Bentley delivers a performance that swings wildly between twitchy loner and sleepy-eyed weird uncle. You're never sure if he's about to murder Angela or ask her to help him install a printer.
That's what's creepy about him!
Meanwhile, Rachel Nichols is forced to scream, sob, and crawl around in the wet dress while the script gives her the intelligence of a houseplant. This is a movie where a woman sets a man on fire and yet still manages to feel slow. At one point, they get in a car wreck and it somehow feels like he almost fell asleep while behind the wheel. Verdict, P2 stands for Please Perish.
All right. I think that, wouldn't that be like P squared?
I guess.
2P? I don't know. 1 out of 10. Save your $10. So clearly, November 10th, 2007. This is a literally like day of review.
Wow.
I think we've seen this movie about a million times before. Dainty late 20s female outsmarts her captor. The only twist this time around is that it's in a parking garage, which makes it different. That's the creative part. It smells vaguely of Wrong Turn, Black Christmas, etc. I wouldn't say it's either of those, but okay.
It smells of it, Jay.
Maybe Black Christmas 74, but I assume they're by naming Wrong Turn and by talking about this, I assume they're talking about Black Christmas 2006.
It reeks of it.
There were several scenes in which you wanted to yell out to her to just do the obvious thing, which would end the movie far too early, of course. What's the obvious thing?
I'm guessing he's probably like trigger the alarm or something like that. But I mean, you have to suspend your disbelief in a movie.
Yep. And the acting could use some work. I don't know. I thought it was well acted. Yeah. Rather than add more to the plot itself, they filled it with blatantly poised scenes of her cleavage.
Well, I'm not complaining about that, but some people might.
A few scenes were downright illogical. It proceeds to not list them, but a few scenes were downright illogical. And to top it off, if you're an animal lover, there is a completely unnecessary scene in which she murders a Rottweiler with a tire iron.
I don't know if it was unnecessary. I mean, the dog was trying to kill her. All right, Jay. 1 star, frozen turkey in the elevator.
All right.
P2 is a film that confuses setting with substance and mistakes silence for suspense. It's 98 minutes of hallway echoes, cold cement, and Christmas music desperately trying to disguise the complete lack of tension. The concept had promise. A woman trapped by a stalker in an underground parking garage on Christmas Eve. But instead of a tight, claustrophobic thriller, we get a meandering slog where nothing escalates logically and every twist is predictable halfway through the first act. Wes Bentley, once compelling in American Beauty, is here reduced to a hollow husk of menace, never intimidating enough to sell the threat, never charismatic enough to be interesting. And Rachel Nichols, while game for the physical demands, is given a character written with the depth of an old voicemail. The film tries to compensate for its lack of ideas with cruelty. There's a dog mauling scene and a drawn-out murder by SUV, none of which is earned, none of which means anything. There's no catharsis, just exploitation dressed up in a fake holiday dread. This is not survival horror, it's cinematic limbo.
I think that person's smarter than me. I've got nothing to say to come back to that, I don't know.
I have something to say to that. Get a life.
A few comments. This was 1 out of 10. One commenter said that the security guard calls the actress by her real name Rachel rather than her character name Angela. All I can say is that the version I saw, the guard calls her Angela, not Rachel. Maybe they corrected it later with redubbing. Anyways, I was looking forward to seeing this thriller and was totally disappointed. I swear I saw some of the dialogue was lifted from another film. Wait, which one? Can you name it? Can you name it? No. Wes Bentley and the director's concept of causing scares is to yell, less is more, guys. See Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. Less is more. I mean, but these are different movies. They say in the film that the building is going to be locked up for 3 days. The film takes place in one night. So why the 3 day reference to tell you that her hopes of someone coming to her rescue are non-existent? That's why the 3 day reference. Was it to make us think it was going to last 3 days? No, it wasn't.
It's because if they didn't say that, then people would be like, well, why didn't you just find somewhere to hide and wait till the next day?
Right, exactly. My opinion, bad writing. Having worked security for Countrywide and Sony, even on the holidays, there is security. Right, and he killed the one security guard.
Yep.
And
which I agree, they should have explained why there was only one security guard, but it's not like that big of a plot hole.
There is always someone working, even on Christmas, especially in IT. Basically, a yawn from beginning to end. Watch the original Die Hard. Was this the same guy who wrote your review?
Nope.
You'll have a much better time now, matter how many times you have seen it.
I think it's because they both take place in an office building.
At Christmas time.
That's the connection, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, that... I would not say this is remotely close to a Die Hard. These are two completely different movies.
Yeah. No, her goal is to escape. John McClane's goal is to fight back.
Yep. And to say, ho, 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 I have a machine gun.
Yes, indeed.
Et cetera, so on and so forth. I'm Hans Gruber, and I'm Gruben.
Is that your last one?
That's my last one.
All right, here's my final one. 0 stars, if I could. A silent night, stupid night. I've seen better horror in dentist waiting rooms. P2 is the cinematic equivalent of being stuck in an elevator with a guy who smells like Axe and thinks women owe him conversations. He's the kind of guy you might find out or might find hanging outside of Spirit Halloween telling you which decorations are the coolest.
No comment.
The film is pure stalker.
Oh, no, sorry, I got a comment. I would be inside the Spirit Halloween. I work there.
I searched the term in reviews, Spirit Halloween, so I can try to find them now. This film is pure stalker fantasy, dressed up in glossy lighting and a sad attempt at suspense. The villain's motive? A woman didn't smile at him enough. That's it. That's the plot. The heroine, quote-unquote, spends most of the film crawling, crying, or freezing. Her big moment of victory is throwing a rock at a door and yelling. She doesn't grow, she doesn't change, and worst of all...
When did she throw a rock at a door?
I think she does throw something at the door when he's locked inside that room and she's running away. I don't think it was a rock, though. She doesn't grow, she doesn't change, and worst of all, the film treats her like a prop in the sick little revenge porn holiday card. Wes Bentley's performance is a disaster. Flat, creepy, and weirdly sleepy. Every line sounds like he's ordering soup at a diner. And when he finally snaps, you don't feel fear, you feel secondhand embarrassment. Everything here feels like a first draft. The scares are non-existent, the tension is non-existent, the entertainment is unfortunately non-existent. Non-existent. If it wasn't for Rachel Nichols' ample cleavage, this film would be no reason at all to recommend this movie. If you enjoy parking garages, misogyny, and dogs being bludgeoned, congratulations, you're the target audience.
Well, shit, I guess I enjoy all those things. I don't, but...
Well, you are a guy who stands outside of Spirit Halloween, Jason.
Once again, inside. Inside. I work there.
Minor details.
I'm paid to be there. They pay me.
But you would definitely recommend the coolest decoration.
Yeah. Also, I would do it for free. I think that's I do think that's one of the reasons I got hired, is because I was there a lot regardless.
This guy stands around. Why not hire him? But yeah, apparently we're critically wrong about this movie, Jace.
That's the thing. Like I said to you before we started, this has like 30% on like Rotten Tomatoes, which is wild. Like both critic and audience, which is wild for a movie that I see recommended all the time when people are asking for Christmas horror movie recommendations.
No, see, people are giving it like a 3 out of 10 or whatever. It seems like the average is 3 out of 10, and of course there's the worse and the better.
I'd say it's like a 6.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would give this movie like a 6 or a 7 probably, on average. It's definitely not a 3.
Well, Jeff, let's take old Thomas here, Tommy boy.
Yeah.
And put him on our naughty list.
I don't know. He's pretty ineffectual without a car.
Yeah, he kills 2 people.
Yeah, I mean, you could assume he killed Charlie, but it's not really clear how. And, of course, the guy he ran over.
I was going to say, is he higher? The person I want to compare him to instinctively is Luke from Better Watch Out.
Ah, okay.
But I think Luke would be so much higher. I think Luke would kill him.
Oh, yeah. Luke, he would turn the parking garage into a maze of traps for this guy.
But, like, I mean, he's better than Terrence Shade. He's better than what's-her-name in Hope, Faith.
Honestly, I kind of want to put him down around the level of, like, a Santa Claus or like
a... Ooh, that's a good spot for it. He's very... you're right. I didn't even think to compare him to Santa Claus. That's...
Because he's like, he can be dangerous at times, but he's also bumblingly inept at times.
I think I'd put him just above Santa Claus. He's the kind of guy who would like... If he got pushed down a flight of stairs, he wouldn't just get back up and start... You know, he would find a different way to torment the person, not just try to do it again.
Yes, I say, he probably would not run directly back up the same stairs, yes. But yeah, I think that seems like a good fit for him.
All right, well, Jeff, it's time for a little bit of this.
Garbage day!
Huh? No!
Well, Jeff, as you know, it's as we said, it's our third birthday of the podcast.
Is it really?
And as we do every year on our birthday, let's talk about the year in review.
Gods, has it really been 3 years?
I think we're going on 3 years.
Yeah, we are.
Favorite episode of the last year?
Of the last year. Well,
as someone who like does the editing, I did really enjoy Return of the Living Dead. Yeah. I thought that was a really fun episode.
I had a lot of fun with that one. I mean, I had a ton of fun with Krampus versus Bigfoot.
Oh, I know you did.
And listening to Jay suffer back on the recording was also an extra treat for me.
I'm trying to think. Not one that I wish we had tackled differently. And I think the record would have been more interesting and might have been our best episode. Would have been, because you and I talked a lot about A Creature Was Stirring before we started recording or before we started the episode. And there's a lot of stuff that, like, I think you and I had both kind of, like, talked it out. And I think it would have been more interesting if we hadn't done that and we had said talked it out on the air.
Yes, we're bad about that sometimes, having the conversations that should be on the podcast before we start.
Yeah, and so like that was one where I was like, I had pressed record, but it was not in the, there was no way to like fit it into the episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I wish I could find a way to fit this in, because like it would have made, like I think it would have made such a more interesting conversation.
Hmm. We'll have to watch that in the future then.
Yeah. But yeah, that was one where like, if that had happened, it would have been our best episode. But, speaking of best episode, favorite movie we watched.
That one's tough. Oh, in the last year, I mean, we've seen so many good ones. You know, I'm gonna just scroll back.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
I don't know.
All right, we got Maniac Cop 3. We got the greatest chase scene in cinema history.
I mean, last spooktacular, we had Halloween 3.
Yep, the greatest Halloween movie.
I always love that one.
We also had WNUF 2.
Yes.
We also had Terrifier.
Yep. I don't know though. I prefer 2 and 3 to that one, so I'm probably not gonna rank that one. We did Trick or Treat. I mean, that's got to be up there.
No, Trick or Treat was 2 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the last spook.
No, we did Halloween 3, Terrifier, Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings, even though he doesn't fly.
He does have blood.
Third Saturday in October 5, and WNUF 2.
That was a fun episode to listen back to, too. It was Pumpkinhead 2.
Thanksgiving was one we did this year. A movie you and I both liked.
Yeah, that was a good one. Was
Mother Krampus 2 Sleigh Ride was
That's a good one. Was Jack Frost 2 in the last year?
I am looking. Better Watch Out was in the last year. And can't forget our boy Simon Phillips. Yeah,
that's true.
The Nights Before Christmas technically falls this year. Jack Frost 2 was our second birthday
episode,
so I don't know how.
I won't count it though. If you're talking about entertainment value, Peter Rottentail. Now that was a good one for entertainment's sake, and listening to Jay suffer.
Once again, after being subjected to the BC-14 cinematic universe, I apologize to the Polonia brothers. Now, I believe one of them passed away. R.I.P.
Yep. I mean, Silent Bite is a good one.
Oh, Silent Bite was good, too. My favorite of the year, although, like I said, Maniac Cop 3 does have the greatest chase scene in cinema history. My favorite of the year was Christmas Bloody Christmas, but that is one of my top five favorite Christmas horror movies. Probably, like, top two.
I'm still trying to decide. One of my favorite stocking stuffers from the last year was Big Boys with Long Legs.
Oh, talking about Long Legs, yeah. A movie we both loved so much.
Southern Ghost Stories, that one was good too. You know, if I had to pick the one, see, that's the thing, is like there's ones that I enjoyed, but they're not good movies. It's like the best movie. Yeah, you know what? I think I have to go with Halloween 3. I enjoyed rewatching that and discussing that one.
You can figure out what you kind of were talking about. Surprise of the year. Either that surprise could be good, surprise could be bad. What movie were you most surprised by?
Krampus versus Bigfoot. That's going to be the one for me. I was definitely surprised by the low quality of that movie.
It's certainly booting it up. It was not what I was expecting.
If you had told me that's what it was, I don't think I would have believed you until I saw it for myself. It was insane.
That's the thing. That surprise is almost harder because like, some of these I just didn't know what to expect. Mother Krampus 2 was great. Like I still think about how much fun you and I had with Mother Krampus 2. We have two of our boys, Simon Phillips, patron saint of the podcast. We have both The Nights Before Christmas and Silent Bite. Both great. Both excellent movies. I think you and I were both. I mean, I don't know if surprised. You and I expect a certain level of quality from Mr. Simon Phillips, and
that's
we got
true.
It.
That's very true.
WNUF 2, but also we had already seen WNUF. We liked that.
We knew what was to be expected.
I'm trying to, there was one other one where I was like, I found myself.
Peter Rottentail also surprised me with how bad it was.
That's fair.
On the good side, because those were both bad surprises, on the good side of surprise, Maniac Cop 3 surprised me with how good it was.
That was the other one I think I was going to shout out with. But I think I would go Maniac Cop 3. Oh, A Cadaver Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That might be the surprise.
Yeah, that was a good one. I wasn't expecting much.
I would say either A Cadaver Christmas or Mother Krampus 2 were kind of my surprise. Like especially Mother Krampus 2, because I was kind of like, it's a fucking sequel to Mother Krampus. That movie fucking sucked. And then for it to be as good and as fun as it was.
Did you just badmouth Fru Peaches in my presence, Jay?
Yeah, also A Cadaver Christmas, like to be as low budget as A Cadaver Christmas was, and for it to be as fun as it was, like that movie ruled.
But yeah, good surprise, Maniac Cop 3. Bad surprise, Krampus versus Bigfoot.
Worst movie.
Worst. Well, I mean, there's movies that are really, really bad, but then there's movies that I had trouble staying awake through. So I'm trying to kind of balance that out, because like I was wide awake through Bigfoot versus Krampus, even though it was terrible.
I'm pretty sure I admitted I fell asleep twice during One Hell of a Christmas.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that popped into my mind. I was like, I did not enjoy that movie. What else did we do? I mean, Pumpkinhead 2 was also a slog to get through.
That's the thing. I wanted Pumpkinhead to grow wings. You call it Pumpkinhead Blood Wings. I want my Pumpkinhead to be able to fly now. And he can't fly now.
He can't. He can't at all.
I really do think. And it has to be one. I think it had to be One Hell of a Christmas. Maybe Christmas Blood. I think that was also.
Christmas Blood was also really bad.
It was just so weird. I still think about that one where I'm like, were we just missing part of the lore?
You know what? I have my pick. It might be controversial, but Lake Alice.
Oh, Lake Alice was bad.
That was hard for me to get through. I had to pause and come back like 3 or 4 times to finish that movie.
That might also be one where I maybe said I fell asleep briefly or something.
I mean, it would be completely understandable if you did. I mean, I was at work watching this, and so that tells you how boring things already were, and it couldn't even hold my attention then.
It was more boring than work.
Yes.
Any other categories? Anything else you want to shout out from the last year?
Did you have a favorite item we tried on our garbage day segment?
That's a good one. Because earlier today, we're slowly sliding into spooky season, as people know. I was trying to think, what all did we eat last year? And I couldn't remember a ton of the stuff, but just because I was more thinking about it.
Pumpkin pie Oreos, those were good.
Pumpkin pie Oreos, Sky Bar.
Oh yeah,
I still think about the Sky Bar all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right. That was a good one. I still think about that weird whiskey we did.
Oh, the pumpkin pie moonshine.
Yes, that was it. It's like surprisingly good.
No, that was way better than I thought it would be. Yeah. Is there anything else? I want to say Sky Bar was probably my favorite thing.
I could agree with that. I still remember it. Yeah.
Every time I go to an independently owned candy place, which I've had no luck so far. You guys got Sky Bars? I'll buy a couple Sky Bars if you guys got them. They do not. So far I've had no luck, but if they did.
If only.
I'm trying to think. Anything? In the new year, what are you most, do you have anything you're excited for? Without potential spoilies?
Excited for. Oh, I could announce my compilation of Southern ghost stories I'm doing for the Spooktacular this year, Jay.
Ooh.
I'm calling it Uncle Pigknuckle's Midnight Tales. He's a spirit of the swamp, Jay.
I love it. I mean, in general, and I guess not necessarily for the podcast. Although, I mean, I am excited for the vague trip that we've talked that we're going to be doing in September.
The trip.
Yeah, well, more news on that to come. But also, I mean, movie-wise, we've still got Return of the Living Dead. We've still got Silent Night, Deadly Night remake to come out. Mm-hmm. And we've still got potentially Thanksgiving 2.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm excited for Jimmy and Stiggs, the new Joe Bigos movie. That looks wild.
Yeah.
It's like dudes versus like metal dudes versus aliens is what it looks like.
We got the new La Martina project coming out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I got word that shipped out the other day. So should be here soon. But other than that, I mean, yeah, I'm excited for Frogman, the movie we're going to be doing next week.
Indeed. Back to the pool.
Well, Jeff, if you thought you were going to get out without eating anything.
God, he's got something in a bag.
Oh, Jeff, do you want what's in this bag?
I don't know.
An Imthrigan cookie from Insomnia Cookies.
Oh, you found him.
I did. I went down and I was like, do I just ask for all the Imthrigan cookies they'll give me? And no, I instead got like a mixture, but all I wanted was the Imthrigan cookies.
Smart, hide your real desire.
So they're sugar cookies, and then they've got like a buttercream center.
Mm.
And they've got pink sprinkles and pink buttercream.
You know what I have to say to this, Jay? The bitch is back in cookie form. No, it's good. I like it.
Hold on to your vaginas.
It's not overpoweringly sweet, which is good, because some cookies go way too heavy on the frosting.
I know we haven't been able to do a M3GAN 2.0 review, but I'm sure it'll be coming at some point. The day we are recording this, I'm seeing it in theaters later tonight. So
it's coming.
It's right around the corner.
Well, happy birthday to us, I guess. Pretty good cookie. I ate M3GAN just like I ate Selena Gomez.
Wild. But Jeff, if you thought that was all, if you thought I'd forgotten, I remain the game master.
Oh no.
And Jeff, I've got a riddle for you.
Does it rhyme with illness?
Fuck. Mary Killmas. Linnea Quigley as zombified trash. Linnea Quigley as Denise, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Linnea Quigley as Nadine, Pumpkinhead 2. It's the Linnea Quigley fuck Mary Killmas.
I'm gonna marry Silent Night, Deadly Night. I'm gonna fuck trash zombie, and I'm gonna kill Pumpkinhead 2.
I mean, Pumpkinhead 2 was so unmemorable.
Yes, she's getting kill-missed.
That was the thing. I had to make it zombified trash, because if I made it regular trash, I knew what your answer would be. No,
Mary.
So I was like, we got to at least make it a little interesting. I mean, well, if the fact that Jeff and I haven't been turned into zombies already over at the pool.
I want to know what it feels like to be dead, Jeff.
You ever wonder what it feels like to be dead?
No. Well, yes, Fairy J. Logsdon.
Oh, my boy Spider. My boy Demon. Spider Demon, he hates enchiladas and trash takes off her clothes again.
Yep. Get the spotlight.
Oh man. I think those are solid answers. Like I said, I had to arrange it in such a way where you couldn't just pick trash.
Nancy has to be killed. It has to be done.
Oh, good old Nadine.
Nadine.
I do want to point out, though, I believe the other day we were talking about, I think on the Return of the Living Dead episode, I did say, I'm pretty sure her name is Denise, but I wasn't positive about that. Turns out, I'm 100% right.
Nice.
I know my Silent Night, Deadly Night.
He's a real movie critic.
Yeah, take that, certified movie critics. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, be a part of our Garbage Day segment, talk about Fatboy Summer, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places. We are at Horror4Holidays. That is horror, the number 4 holidays. Horror4Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Check us out. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the subscribe bell. Leave us comments. Just, you know the drill. Go to all the podcatchers, upvote us, 5-star reviews, say 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko.
The real sickos. Leave a 5-star review that says 0 stars if I could.
And I'm sure we'll see all the perverts back at the pool next week.
Yep. As we're getting ready to head back to poolside so we can talk about Frogman.
No, hold on a second, Jay. No, I am not buying an extra ticket. There's got to be an open extra seat.
But no, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Still not sure they're proud to have us, although it sounds like they might enjoy our company on occasion.
A little bit, maybe.
Yep. But yeah, check them out. Holidays After Dark. As always, totally rad Christmas. Jerry D. There's all sorts of great stuff out there.
We should call Jerry D, Jay, and tell him how soft Angela's skin is.
I'll include that on the email because Totally Rad Christmas listeners will know that there's more 80s horror movies that haven't Christmas horror movies that haven't been talked about. And there's a special one that we might make an appearance on here shortly.
God, not that one.
Oh, I'm so excited. Jeff, you're dreading it. I'm so excited.
Here, we'll throw in a reference for all the real perverts and sickos out there. Mystical boinging.
Yeah, if you know, you know. Is there anything else? Tell a friend. I think the best way to spread the word about the podcast. All those things we do at the end of the podcast. Yeah. You know the shit. If you listen to this crap, you know what we do.
You know it. Everybody knows it at this point.
Anyway, we'll see you back next week. Talk about one of the best found footage movies of 2024. Maybe the best found footage movie of 2024. I don't know. Late Night with the Devil was also 2024. Frogman. So excited. Oh, hopping mad. They're the Loveland Frogs.
Might include an appearance by Alex Jones. I don't know. We are talking about one of his favorite animals.
Frogs. They're turning the frogs man. Anyway, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.